Is it a bird? Is it a plane? No, it's the Benefits and Wellness Superhero Podcast. This podcast is designed to help professionals develop the skills needed to get complete leadership buy-in on group benefits and shine a light on what's changing in the wellness space. Listen to tips and strategies that'll help you become a superhero in the eyes of employees and management. In this episode of the Benefits and Wellness Superhero Podcast, Julie Wald, CEO at Namaste Wellness, joins me to discuss how the mental health tsunami caused by the pandemic accelerated the adoption of wellness services. Listen as we consider if an increased focus on mental health has perhaps left some physical wellness programs lagging behind and what we can do about it. Julie will also share some metrics and formulas that companies can use to maximize the chances of success for new wellness programs. A wellness practitioner for over 25 years, Julie is the founder and CEO at Namaste Wellness, a leading corporate wellness company. She's the author of the number one Amazon bestseller, Inner Wealth, How Wellness Heals, Nurtures, and Optimizes Ultra-Successful People, and was named one of 2021's top 100 women leaders in healthcare by Women We Admire. Julie, welcome. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me.
Nowadays, what do you think is the sort of formula for wellness success right now? And is it still the same, or is it sort of, have we learned something interesting about how that now should be done?
Yeah, absolutely. When it comes to a formula, we have to be mindful of the shiny objects. There's really a lot of incredible apps on the market. I mean, I think of Headspace and Calm and Insight Timer, and those are all really, really wonderful resources. But what we've found is that giving employees an app is good because it's a step in the right direction, but it's not necessarily a silver bullet. It's really not a silver bullet. And here's why. It's because now so many companies are remote or hybrid. And one of the biggest challenges that employees are facing is this feeling of being isolated or just this lack of sense of community and connection. So giving employees an app to go do something alone on their own time can sometimes, while well-intentioned, feed the very problem that it's trying to solve. And so we find that really the way to create a framework for a successful program, it needs to involve what we call together action. So bringing people together, the sense of connection, the sense of community. This is one of the most powerful components of cultivating mental health overall, in addition to everything we've talked about in terms of physical health, et cetera. So making sure that you're creating opportunities for connection in your programming, I would say, is number one. I would also say that successful programs also have a combination of consistency and novelty. So what I mean by that is that we want to create opportunities for employees to develop mastery, to learn, to have sense of self-efficacy around things like mindfulness, if that's what you're doing, or how to build other healthy habits. But we also need novelty. We also need to keep on introducing new and interesting material. For example, recently we did an amazing acupressure for stress management at an organization, which was hugely popular and a great kind of more novel experience that keeps the team engaged. So it's that balance between consistency and novelty. And we believe that, and really my belief is that it can be high tech for sure, but it should also be high touch. And really what I mean by that is that, as I mentioned, relationships are at the core of us as human beings. So a successful program will ultimately strengthen relationships with the teachers and facilitators, our team at Namaste, we develop wonderful bonds with the employees and people feel really connected. And of course, relationships within the community. I know at Namaste, we have our own wellness program and we have our own Slack channel where we have a chat about everything that happens and we're cheering each other on when we do more workout related things. We're, you know, taking sweaty selfies and we're, you know, just having, there's a lot of humor engaged in it all. And it's a really powerful component of us just feeling connected as a team in a way that's not always necessarily work related.
So interesting balance there between the community aspect of saying, you know, let's do this together and support one another together. But how is the individual issue kind of blended in with that? So I kind of see that as a lot more one-to-one conversations are happening between managers and employees, touching base, especially with remote work. We have to check in and see how people are doing. What can I do to help? Those are the nuggets of information you get that you say, wow, there's a consistency across our people. They're all looking for X or Y or Z. And if you hadn't done those one-to-ones, you know, you would not know that, right? But from a wellness standpoint, how do we give them the opportunity to step up individually and get what they need beyond the communal side? Because that seems to be this interesting kind of balance.
Yeah, I think you are spot on there. And really, you know, what we believe in is sort of a wellness flywheel, which really creates momentum and ultimately results in real change. And that model is really about learning and practicing, which are those together actions, those things that we do as a team. But the third component of that flywheel is evolve. And that's really that individualized component where we are learning from managers and teams about what, you know, they're hearing from employees. We're coaching managers and teams on how to have effective conversations and really mindful communication with employees individually to learn what their needs are on, you know, a very nuanced one-on-one level. And then we're evolving everything we're doing programmatically to support those nuanced needs of individuals in addition to providing coaching. So all of our group activities are really kind of a huge component of what we bring to culture, but our ability to provide one-on-one support to employees, which we've been doing for 20 years in terms of that individualized either wellness coaching or nutrition coaching or mindfulness coaching or even things based on fitness or other more general stress management topics, is how we can make sure that really nobody is falling through the cracks. So it's a combination of learning from individual employees what they're needing so we can evolve the group programming to support them, as well as making sure that they feel seen and heard on that individual level and are getting what they need. Because we also know that everybody's needs are so incredibly nuanced and different right now, whether you're, you know, single and 20 something living in a major metropolitan city, you know, or whether you're 40 with, you know, three kids, it's the stressors are different. And so Knowing that and understanding that informs everything.
Yeah. So if I maybe get caught up in the wellness culture by way of the communal support that I feel, I may, in a way, find my way, you know, like I learn or did something I never did before because a colleague said, hey, we're doing this, you know, maybe a meditation class together. Come on and join me. Or we're doing a walk this afternoon. Whatever it is, it gets you further along, you know, that road. And then eventually you say, well, I have particular interests, this, this, and this. And if you can have a platform where they can step up and actually get help for those things. And it goes in flows, right? Not everybody is in that mode at any one time. But when they have that moment, they need to be able to grab at something. As you said, technology's helped a little bit with that balance, but there's a lot of vendors, a lot of tools being thrown at us. Every single day I hear of a new one. And our job as an advisor is, of course, to tell companies, hold on, you know, let's look at the big picture here in terms of what you're trying to accomplish. But ultimately, how have you helped companies, whether they choose Namaste or they choose a number of other vendors or tools, how do you think that people should go about choosing one against the other?
Absolutely. And you're right. There's just a sea of options out there. But, you know, I really believe that when it comes to choosing a vendor, I think companies need to look for a true partner, not necessarily just a tool or a technology. So finding, you know, finding a wellness provider that's willing to get to know you and your unique culture, the, you know, the biggest concerns you have, the biggest obstacles you foresee, this is key. At Namaste, we know that what works for a 25-person hedge fund that's gone hybrid is very different than what works for a supermarket chain with three shifts, and we work with both. You know, also, I would say that it's important to evaluate your wellness partner on their versatility and adaptability. To the first point, let's acknowledge that people absorb, you know, information in all different ways. We're all individuals. We're all really nuanced. So how does any given vendor deliver their services and information? Is it all video? Is it all reading material? I believe that the best programs really have a blend. And when it comes to that sense of adaptability, we know if there's anything that COVID has taught us is that things change constantly. Things change month to month. Think of COVID, think of politics, think of everything that, you know, we've all gone through in the last couple of years. So looking for a vendor that can deliver programs that are both timeless, but also topical. And so with our clients, for example, we'll have a framework for a year, but then we select very specific programming. We leave a lot of wiggle room in there to select very specific programming 30 to 60 days out so we can be responsive to what's going on in an organization. God forbid there's a death in an organization or other factors. We're there to respond with the most appropriate kind of programming. And so I think that's key. I also, you know, I can't emphasize enough the value of live experiences because it's really an appointment for employees to show up. So showing up with your coworkers, doing a non-work activity with your team is huge in terms of morale. And one of the things that one of the most amazing business people said to me almost 20 years ago when we were starting our company is that morale is always lower than you think it is. So creating that chance to bond, to learn, to laugh, to have a shared experience, to have even shared vocabulary and shared goals, all of that, I think, is something to look for in terms of what a vendor can provide, as well as just somebody who's been one step ahead of the market. Because if you're looking to really retain employees, your wellness program needs to be better than just the bare minimum or the baseline. It needs to literally be enviable. So, you know, the truth is you can have a world-class program if you're willing to spend anywhere between $2,000 and $5,000 a month, I would say. We like to think that, you know, as a rule of thumb, your wellness program budget should be somewhere in line with an administrative salary at your company. That's where we're coming from.
I like that. That's a good phase. Nobody usually talks about the budget in itself, but you got to get your head around that. But going back to what you said at the very beginning, which is you got to commit, like, let's make the investment. Let's put in the time and the effort aside from the money. Let's put in the effort to really make this thing work. It is not a set and forget sort of thing. It isn't. Just like our own personal journey of wellness or well-being, there's no shortcuts, right? You got to put in the reps and put in the work to learn. So
absolutely. I mean, as we saw, you know, and I think you relate to this, it's like parenting. You got to put in the time.
Yeah.
There's no
right.
Set it and forget it.
No.
And if you want to nurture a healthy organization, it requires that kind of time and commitment and thoughtfulness.
Yes. Yeah. That's important. And not everyone's up for that. So that's a good thing to realize up front. Well, this has been a great full circle conversation, Julie. I like how we went from like, what are the current motivators? Kind of what are we measuring? What is the sort of successful formula that we ultimately need to commit to? Some good learning that has been maybe the case for a while, but it's getting more and more clear to those of us in the wellness space who have been in it as long as we have to see what's necessary for success. So finally, how can people learn more about your company and possibly connect with you?
Absolutely. Well, if listeners have a question for me, they can feel free to email me directly at julie@namasteny.com. They can check out our website and find our program catalog, which is at namastewellness.com. But just one thing I want to mention is that a little teaser here. In January, we are going to be doing a full rebrand and new name coming out. After almost 20 years of being in business, it's time for a little bit of a fresh name in the new year. So our new name is going to be Golden. And all of these URLs will redirect to Golden and all of our new websites, et cetera. But I just wanted to give that heads up in case anybody gets confused. So
sure. Thank you. Well, good luck with that. That's great. Nice. Nice refresher for everything. So again, Julie, thank you so much for taking the time, investing the time with me to answer some, hopefully the better questions that need to be asked around wellness right now. So all the best to you and to your business and to your rebranding in the new year. And thank you to everyone who tuned in, and hope you took something valuable out of our time together. So everyone, be well. Take care.